Today is the fourth Sunday after Easter, and the Gospel reading is from St. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, "Where are you going?" But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Today is Cantate, or Sing, Sunday, drawing its name from the first words of today's introit, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. These words from Psalm 98 are our expression of joy at the salvation which has been accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Because of the salvation which the Lord has accomplished for us, therefore we rejoice, we sing. It is as we read in the words of Isaiah chapter 12, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Because the Lord has delivered us from sin, death, and the devil, therefore we praise him. Because he gives us life, therefore we live to his glory. Because his word has come to us, therefore we have words to praise him and to confess him before others. The Lord gives us the word of life, joining us together to confess him. The collect for today emphasizes the unity which is found in the Lord. O God, who makes the minds of the faithful to be of one will, grant unto thy people that they may love what thou commandest and desire what thou dost promise. The church is to be of one will and one voice, and that will is to be the will of the Lord, and that voice the repetition of his holy word. Not all unity is God-pleasing. Men will also try to ape the divine unity through ideology of all stripes, for ideologies, when they have run to their logical conclusions, are nothing but false religions. Varieties of Pharisaism of differing vintages are also sought as means of unity, where men substitute their own laws for God's law. We live in an age in which we are expected to toe the line, whether one is speaking of the policies, foreign or domestic, of the political estate. The inflexibility of ideology demands one voice. But fidelity to God may require one to speak contrary to the ideologies of men. Then it is, as St. Peter and the other apostles declared, we ought to obey God rather than men. So, too, there are those who attempt to impose a unity on the church which is not rooted in God's word. Here, too, men elevate their own agendas over the word of the triune God, and in place of receiving with meekness the implanted word, they become ablaze with a fervor for the plans and agendas of men. What does God's word say to us? Consider again the words which are given to us in the words of the epistle reading for today. St. James tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." There is no variation, therefore, in our Heavenly Father. We are never left in doubt whether His word and will have changed. But St. James goes on to write, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Thanks be to God for the word of truth, for we are brought forth through that word. In His unvarying will, God sent that word forth which gives life and salvation to us. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Ah, now here is where the demonic fury of pride begins to stir. When we are told in Holy Scripture, "Receive with meekness the implanted word." Pride doesn't want to meekly receive anything. It wants its own will, its own intellect, its own agenda. Meekly receive the implanted word? By nature, you want your own word, your own will. Meekness sounds too much like weakness to your old nature, and by nature you don't want to concede to either one. When Jesus told the disciples that the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, would come, He told them that the Helper would come with a threefold conviction. For Jesus said, "He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." The conviction of sin comes upon all who do not believe in the Christ. As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "For whatever is not from faith is sin." Thus Jesus declared in John chapter 3, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The conviction of sin, therefore, comes because they do not believe in Jesus. There is no forgiveness apart from faith in the Christ. Those who in their foolish pride will not believe will be condemned. The Helper will also convict the world of righteousness. Jesus declared, "Because I go to My Father and you see Me no more." Those who arrogantly despise the teachings of the Christ nevertheless witness the conviction of righteousness for the truth of Jesus' teaching, and the proof that He is the Son of God is demonstrated through His resurrection from the dead and His ascension to the right hand of the Father. All bear witness to this central fact of human history. No event in all of the ages of mankind's long history is as clearly established, even according to weak human judgment. How much greater the witness of God's unchanging word, which further testifies that it is so. The Helper also convicts the world of judgment, Jesus says, because the ruler of this world is judged. As with the other two convictions, this one is also rooted in the death and resurrection of the Christ. As the ruler of this world is condemned, having been overcome in the death and resurrection of the Christ, so all those who remain under His authority remain under judgment so long as they will not repent. The conviction is not overturned by the will of man. The Helper will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit of God is at work wherever the Word of God is proclaimed. Both the Law and the Gospel are God's holy Word. Thus we teach in the Formula of Concord, "We believe, teach, and confess that the Law is properly a divine doctrine, which teaches what is right and pleasing to God, and reproves everything that is sin and contrary to God's will. Therefore, everything that reproves sin is and belongs to the preaching of the Law." If we, therefore, whether by our words or actions, speak or live contrary to the word and will of the Holy Trinity, we stand under the condemnation of the Law. It does not matter how many others agree with you in such a case, the judgment of the Law still stands. Again, it does not matter if 1,000 are in agreement. If they are not first united in the word and will of God, their unity is idolatrous. All the Roman Empire was bound together in worship of the emperor. The nation of Israel was united under the Pharisees and Sadducees, under their false teaching. But all such unity came to nothing. The unity which bound together the apostles and the early church brought them the hatred of the world. But the unity which the triune God gives to his church binds them together. As we read of those converted and baptized on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Those who reject the word, both then and now, are eternally lost. But the one who hears the word and believes it, such a one has been blessed by God. For we are told, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." In the beginning the Lord created all through his word. Now we whom the Lord calls to be his people are recreated through the word. And that which the triune God recreates in Christ Jesus, he brings into unity. And thus the Lord establishes within the faithful body of Christ that lasting unity, as St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord gives us the word of life, joining us together to confess him. We are made partakers of salvation through faith by the word of the gospel, that precious good news which assures us that Christ Jesus has paid for our sins through his death on the cross for us. For it is as we have been taught to confess, "He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death." And the gospel assures us that we have the promise of eternal life in Christ, so that just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, so we too shall rise to everlasting life. God's word assures us that we lack nothing that we need. All that we need to know for our salvation, the Lord of the church has revealed. The Lord promised his disciples, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." And the church, built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, has received the truth in the revealed word through the apostles and prophets. The triune God gives his word to us so that we need never doubt or fear concerning that word. Because it comes from the Lord through his apostles, it is sure and certain. It is that prophetic and apostolic word which is to be proclaimed in Christ's church to the end of the age, the Holy Spirit working through that word to create and sustain faith within the hearts of God's people. By nature, we are proud, but the Holy Spirit works a meekness within us, which receives the implanted word with joy, that word which is able to save our souls. That sure salvation has come to us, and it is our joy and our hope. The Lord has declared his word to us, and thus we respond in praise. "Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." The Lord is with us, his Spirit dwelling within the hearts of the faithful, and the Lord will neither leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who makes the minds of the faithful to be of one will, grant unto thy people that they may love what thou commandest, and desire what thou dost promise, that among the manifold changes of this world our hearts may there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild. We invite you to learn more about Salem Lutheran Church on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net or to call the congregation at 533-2330.